This one's called Audition. He listened to me playing pieces on the piano to display my ability for employment. We were reflected in the piano. You who played the drums with abandon, a showman at heart, known here and abroad, there was a reflection in the piano. Your shoulders in that black suit still squarely face me, and your eyes missed as you listen. There was a reflection in the piano. And long afterwards, while still there, when I showed you this poem, your jaw dropped sadly, as if you didn't care. Yet we were still reflected in the piano.
Anita, Donna Dugan.
Perfume for her birthday. Who took my Auntie Nora's Chanel No. 5 after she had died? On whose bathroom shelf or dressing table does it now reside? Is her house peppered with specks of the older people that they have lifted and shifted, talked at and walked by, busy, busy, really busy? And how are you this morning, Nora? Oh, please call me Mrs. Marr. Nora doesn't reply. The bed in the corner was stripped, her body washed and removed. The nurse sorted through her things and put the Chanel No. 5 to one side. Chocolate biscuits. I buy the tins at Christmas, aisles full of them, stacked on the supermarket shelves, up at least 10 feet high. I lift and view the tins from all sides, pictures and ingredients, always looking for the most chocolatey ones, not just the plain biscuits covered in chocolate with shining wrappers, pretending to be interesting. No, it takes time and patience. Can't rely on brand names. I'm looking for chocolate, yes, but I want the bonus of creamy fillings, jelly trimmings, two-tone flavours, sparring tastes, contrasting textures, melting softness, crunchy bites, and a good aroma, so when the tricky, sticky band of narrow sellotape has been removed and the snug tin lid to the chocolate tomb has been prized off, I want to be hit by a thick, creamy, chocolatey burst that explodes in my face.
Thanks, Donna. Next up, could we have Connor Story?
Basically about how history is written. So, you know, I suppose it's just about that a lot of history is written from the perspective of individuals like great leaders like Napoleon and Barack Obama and Brian Cohen and such like. And I feel that their place in history is very much overemphasized. And the part of ordinary individuals and the lives that they live isn't given enough benefit or enough due. So and because of that, we get a thwarted version of history, really. So that's what it's called. And it's called How History Was Written. First, there is a need for simplification, for history on a grand scale cannot be pinned. All events are reduced down to a domestic level. A small group of people are pinpointed. The parts they play are greatly magnified. while simultaneously reducing the role of all others. The arena and time scale remain untouched. In such a farce, multiple fatalities are a difficult concept for the writer to describe or the reader to comprehend. War becomes a family quibble, and peace a wet weekend. And the second point is that it's about, and I suppose it's kind of about history again, it's about imperialism, and it's called To Captain Newbolt. And Captain Newbolt was a poet in the 19th century, early 20th century, a British poet who wrote, I suppose, he was a contemporary of Rudyard Kipling, let's say, and he wrote a lot of poems about Britain and about the British Empire and, you know, the greatness of Britain and, I suppose, the burden of the white man and all these things. So I quite like some of his poems, but I don't agree with any of the content. So it's a kind of, this poem was basically a response to his poem called Lamps of Light. And you know, it's about Britain, but obviously it's not really anti-British, it's about imperialism, which I still exists today, I believe, even though we don't hear it, and it's called things like peacekeeping today, stuff like that. So it's called Captain Newbolt. The nations speak as one, who with their tongues whisper, sing songs of encouragement into each other's ears. The lands exist which are passed on from duke to pauper, from murderer to son. Take it and walk into the hard white sand. This is the lamp of life, the soul of England. O sister island, blessed strength endowed you. China quaked and India was irked when you set sail your ships with great intent into the blue horizon to raid the earth.
Next up we have Donal O'Connor.
Thanks, Bob. This is a short poem. It's called Fringe Benefits of the Lot of Being a Poet. Let them then be cranky, difficult, and unsocial. Let them live world remote and in neglect, sequestered from the access roads, through wastelands, even sloglands, where some few rare wild natural plants might still find cracks to flourish beyond these manicured tracts of high yield, low field, GM thoughts. Thank you.
Colin O'Donovan.
The day that I went mad. 'Twas a day unlike no other, sheeting rain from times of Noah. The monsoon 2 months too soon, and I arrived in Goa. Ignored the omens, saw the signs, cats fighting snakes and lizards. My best friend Ben, kicking heroin then, tried to kill me with the scissors. Lightning kissed, I strode through mist, wraith-like, wistful, sad. My spirit soared with the true gods, the day that I went mad. Assumed with piety the mantle of deity, a sinister Santa Claus. Medicated but not placated, my fingers turned to claws. My body turned to steel and stone, my supreme senses heightened. Detached and on the warpath, of myself was slightly frightened. Embodied warrior genteel, a King Arthurian Galahad. And cursed the cursed devils the day that I went mad. And gashed the windswept sea wide open, dropped my sparkling sabre there. The blazing blaze green fire leapt, then I came up for air. Fire, water, earth, we know, the fifth element we knew. It's spirit and it's everywhere and all connected too. So fling open the doors and windows in your hearts and heads and unjust not those unenlightened who to you have unjust said. Thank you.
Anthony Jackson.
Just off on time, lad. I'm not going to bother using the lights there because the peas will be popping, you know. Alright, I'm just a bit out of breath now after the stairs, like, but I'm just going to do a verse from one of my tracks, a cappella. The track is called Happiness, and the verse goes like this. It's like, 2 seconds now, I just have to get my breath back there. It'll be worth it, though. Alright, ready? With this music, I'm never alone. I'm cleverly flown with energy that could central heat homes. With street poems, you can tell where I'm going. Telling these stories in my rhymes that you can get and behold. Regrets in the phone leaves are just a waste of time. I don't know about you, but they're not taking mine. And I hope you take a shine to the words that I speak. I know some people seek to find what it is they should be. My advice is to try different things, explore different scenes, and ignore jealousy and obscene gestures from the people trying to test to the best that comes to the trials, not to the testers. Positivity shines when negativity drops. Like a stone turning the water never surfaces up. So if you want to rise, then keep promoting yourself. Because if you don't, you're just demoting yourself. Yeah. Woo! Hey! I'll show you another one there if you want, you know.
Yeah.
Go on.
Go on, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of a good one now. But do you want something happy?
Happy.
Alright. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's time to prove it. Yes, these rhymes are elusive, because they're so good they can't believe it's the truth, which is being spoken when I'm holding the mic. Because I inflict a cold shiver that will go to your spine. I bring a flavor to you crazier than anything else. Lyrics are felt so much that the roof's gonna melt. Who's gonna tell a story in the way that I can? Introducing the best rapper in the globe, you know it as well. Always excel. Some people try to write me off. I write a lot in quantities. You'd have to store a Microsoft. You might be soft. But I'm up all night, I stay up all my life to get this verse right. Then let it go, yeah, I'm off the hook, and I can make any party turn from bad to good. And this is just an introduction, just a taste of what's yet to come, man. Yeah.
Hey!
Thanks, Anthony. We're looking forward to what's to come. Next up, we have Steve Cosgrave.
Yay. Well, I'm glad everybody got a dose of happiness there because I can bring you right down. Now, this is a poem I would like to dedicate to my grandmother, who spent 20 years of her life in the Gulag from 1919 to 1939. And one of the things she used to tell me, among many other things, was that poor life and starvation and disease, and they were building the Baikal Amur railway line, which is on the border of China, and you were really allowed to kill yourself because the whole work gang will be punished because you're able-bodied to do work. And some people used to be very inventive how they killed themselves and wander into the forest in winter, and the cold and the wolves would get them, so that was one way to make it past. So this is a monologue. Look at my hands, girls. Marusha, Anna, look at them. They have not bled for days. See, my calluses are so thick, you can hack them with glass. And still, like my heart, they would not bleed. Wolves of a beast, that's what they are. Marusha, Anna, girls, don't look at me so. Don't hold me down. Let go, let go, let go of my arms. Truly, I was frightened, so frightened, that I searched for a tail beneath my skirt. But see here, all I have is a woman's cunt. And oh, can I hear him pant? Listen, listen to him. There he goes, over there in the trees. He knocks on our door each night, you know. Softly, softly, tone muffled, seeking me out. In my dreams, his hot breath sears my neck. Rough tongue wraps my nipple. Oh, let go of me, girls, I beg of you, Marusha, I beg of you, Anna. For Christ's sake, let go of me. Have no fear, girls, I will not join him tonight. With my hoofed hand tonight, I will touch the face of the moon as it rises above the spruce, the fir, and the larch. while he nuzzles the other side of the moon with his cold, lonely snout. Oh, girls, let go of me now. See how much calmer I am. Listen to him howl with grief. He is drifting away, trailing his tail in the mud and the wet. Let him wait while snow petals the moss. Only then, in the thick of desire, will I go to him. His fangs deep in my flesh, we shall spin against life and together vermilion the sturgeon of land. In spring, I shall carpet a clearing in wild strawberries. You shall feed, girls, for my sin. Thank you.
I didn't bring a book with me tonight because I was at a meeting and I just happened to come to poetry. So, this is a quotation by Paul Bowles. Death is always on the way, but the fact we don't know when it will arrive seems to take away the finiteness of life. It's that terrible precision that we hate so much, but because we don't know when it will happen, we get to think of life as an inexhaustible well. Yet everything happens only a certain number of times, and a very small number really. How many more times will you remember a certain afternoon of your childhood? An afternoon that's so deeply a part of your being that you can't even conceive of your life without it. Perhaps four, perhaps five times more. Perhaps not even that. How many more times will you watch the full moon rise? Perhaps 20. And yet it all seems limitless. I was in Galway about 3 years ago and I met a girl called Christy, and she was, we sat and we chatted for about 3 hours, and she took me by the hand and she said, "Aaron, keep living. Keep living." And she said, go to this house and ring the doorbell and ask to read the quotation that's written on the staircase. So I went to the house and I rang the doorbell and I read the quotation that was on the staircase. And this is the quotation. "It's the coming back, the return, which gives meaning to the going forth. We don't always know where we've been until we get back to where we were. Only where we were may not be as it was because of who we have become, which is, after all, why we left." And one more quotation, that'll be Oscar Wilde. "It is through art and through art only that we can realize our perfection. Through art and through art only that we can shield ourselves from the sordid perils of actual existence." Thank you.
Some sordid perils. Do we have the most travelled bars on this island? Mr. James Kelly.
Good morning, James. When they call me Mr., I think they're looking for money. They've come to the goat's house for wool.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll start with this one. I'll try another one out now. I wasn't disowned already. I think I'll be disowned by the cannon artillery if I decide it's the other one. "I'm here to hear the call of the low light dance against the wall, where the shower grows now to loneliness to beat the green, where this pain is created. Can you hear the little tune, the little tear whispering, the tiny tap, tap, tap along the open doors of the river that make the water shiver? The zapping cloud around school children, on the windows
upon this upon evenings by the fire of Fort Willow. Inside the old man straightens knife and fork, lines up small mill captains, the old woman salutes the shipping dog. Outside, turn towards the chapel, I remember. I now have some grace or prayer, but out we go against small kippings to lonely reefs where small wood breaks, like the spirit into smallest hours. Can you hear the low light call in the morning? Can you hear it humming and darkness passing? Can I touch in you in the light from his toe?
You can clap if you
like. Now, I'm trying to get all of these together. You know the way, I have a few more fish to fry, novels and players and short stories. I'm trying to get the rest of my poem, I was saying to Paul earlier on, Casey, the rest of my poems together, but I'm thinking about including this in the beginning. Now, I come from, I suppose what you would say, a not undysfunctional, typical Irish family, Catholic family, may I add. We still say our prayers, okay? And I'm thinking, if I put this in, will they definitely disown me? But I definitely wind up in the pauper's grave. But I don't understand. My father. My father was a strange kind of a man. He was a, I suppose, a kind of a character. Probably singing My Only Son, The Shock in Dublin, The Dying River, and all that. He was living a lot in the past. I didn't know. Yeah, I said to him once, he said, when all this child abuse stuff came out with priests and nuns and brothers, he said, I don't know what you're expecting people to wear skirts. We couldn't really talk to each other. The first port I met, bound to my mother and his, and sadly to that small farm, solitary ploughing, behind the wild old grey mare, singing at weddings and funerals, and later on a grey Ferguson tractor, saving hay and cotton turf, in days, mournfully inquiring, after some night's drunkenness, what did I do to deserve this? Who stretched out his hand with ease, and no sign of peace at this wedding mass. Sometimes I stand, he stand now, but will never walk behind his plough. The first port I met, one of the best. The first time we really spoke our last.
I'll try one more, because I can do a love poem. One of those love poems. Simple enough, I suppose.
Love is simple enough, we can write about it like this, Lucy. I love by your touch and I love much too much. You love by my touch and you love much too much. I drink to the prize you said I told lies. Sip from the pain you believe me insane. Notice the moment in option this torrent. Notice you disguise a smile in those sad eyes. Build up the gross corpse for your drop of remorse. Breathe love inside it and try to forget. I made you to dare you always like a star. The one I cannot mar. Though I made war.
Thank you very much.
And now for the bad news, I'm endeavouring to flog a few of these elections. If there's any port or any arrogant left in this, our beloved, pauperized land, I haven't got wish there.
How much do they go for?
A tenner, is a woman, if you're stuck to your best. I'm kind of running low on ammo.
Thanks, James. Okay, just a few more people. If there's anyone else who'd like to say poem, if they're on the list, you can shout. Next up, we have Alan Cote.
I need them for the gala, that's in Berla, God in the non-skill.
Hi, Colin. And next up, Patricia Walsh. Just come and see. Here she is.
Thank you, Paul.
and this will cause stop taking. Our hearts are not built for bliss, rather the ridicule of those we love, or the stark quality of what we're not. Simply guardians of our own making, taking the long arm of private law, blooded out by acres of Chardonnay, among other things, why should I be contrite? Why should I be the one to turn off the light, crawling out of bed to do so? The night is always cold, regardless of how the stars and our hearts go awry. Ignorance is no longer a sin nor an offence, as we long to see ourselves go, for the comfort of our own homes, or the quality of stars in our minds, the structure supported by complacency. Why should I be contrite for this? It's called Private Fame. There are Churchill Battery, the peak of the consummation, wrapped up in the darkest silk. Sodium light is your only fan, not waiting long enough for an autograph. Where there's water that chains in the Maktaba style, in a manner of being a servant of God, not dead, but pickled through, misadventures, the tawdry memories of experience. Is it not enough that I'm civilized up to a point? You beckon. Your sexual veracity finding its rightful home, especially in your last solitude. The curtain's aperture records the moment of vision, so as not for me to remember. So I say, is it worth wearing chains around my neck and wrist, even if they are silver? Or beauty is useless, and so am I. I'm telling this poem comes from an American mechanism really called DTR, or defining the relationship. The bad postman ducked the bell, not for my own sake, but the sake of those sleeping, on whom I throw my mercy. I slide the chain, and for his efforts say nothing. You say, it's the DTR. You want answers, those that only I can produce, and only ones that you have sussed out by wet-eyed wisdom of post-midnight oil. You try to commend yourself to sleep. Having failed, you steal my number. As Columbo said, just one more thing. Your sore eyes declare the question. Did you ever really love me? You, being 28 years from my person, is the closest you'll ever be. Consummating fantasies, waking roses with your shock, not even taking time to slam the door behind you, and everybody in houses is asleep. Thank you.
Thanks, Tisha. Almost come to a close. So thanks again for coming, everyone. And we're going to end up as usual with Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Paul. That was quite a myself and Billy and this about China might look at, but we did it, you know. But we're not telling any stories. What happens in China stays in China. Spill the beans already. This actually is a piece of prose. It comes from a novel that I wrote some years ago about a Scottish Irish poet who killed a tax man. And had to flee to Scotland,
as you do,
he killed the taxman, and he then went to the Crusades and various things, and I had to translate some of this. So I could read a bit in Irish first, and then the English translation that I was forced to do along the way. Okay, so it's a journey from Ireland to Scotland. Madre Lemon Pusa Ido Eiring Agus Alwyn Ni Fiú Morana Eish Lina Fari Goloi Gafuin Gile Mara Fuin Ar Rava Kinoing glass of wee, soon for a sheer me and pilot if I again. Inishagoni or your arsuida, I was rip, fumed, and a toil gal. Rhyme an arriga, ship hall ling, fan and valley. Luhoi right doing, no burdoin rapper, a lame as brain, queen of shoon, erin weir yoon. Light no go his sheath as dang the soccer ruin, in inid wachtracha on air, his hockery gun weir. In a poor, rag, meal, and clown, and coffin. sailing. About my goings from Ireland to Scotland, there is not much to relate. The slap of the sea strongly beneath us, the bright brine urged by our oars. Always an isle on our eye's edge, brushed with white billows. The salt-sud sea beckoned us onwards. Joy jumps to our sight were the spotted salmon leaping from the waves in our white way. The winds lay down and hit sweetly in the upper nooks of the air, and the sea settled to a quiet quilt without growl or glower. Others before me who had passed this way, I carried on my back. The sons of Uisnech, whom no king in Ireland would not have given welcome. Colum Cille, for whom the birds and the wild beasts pined. It was his fate to see faith and fealty, my fate before me as blind as the moon. Much was the difference between us and great Fergus, son of Erc, who stretched his sight across the sound from his fast fort and settled his kingdom just east of Islay. He saw his wheel without end, whose fires of fame flamed in his head. As for me, the pain scoured a hole in my heart as our ship slewed its stern from Ireland. Mad Sweeney astride the big berg of Alcer Craig, home for seagulls, cold for guests. Wet our beds were, little thought we gave to rock, nor wished the holy way we wended. Sad our plight, two sharp-shinned herons, a flying madman and a fleeing poet. Sad our going, kept from our kenning the kingdom we came. I'm sorry it wasn't funny, but sure it was something to write. Thank you.